Well, you've seen me sat at the back a few times. It's the first time up the front. So what qualifies any of us to be up here is that we're people who've messed up. So in coming to faith, which I did when I was 14, it's that admission that you know you've got some things wrong in your life and you alone couldn't fix them. You needed God's help to do that. And that's when I, as a 14-year-old, invited God into my life and got baptized and got excited about it. And wanted to tell other people about it. I saw friends of mine become Christians at school. We went from about 3 Christians to 30 over a 4-year period. And then they sent me out of the country. I had 2.5 years working in India and Pakistan. And 20 years working with my wife in Japan doing church planting. So I'm going to ask my wife, Julie, to come up. And she's going to give us a reading for today.
Okay, I'm going to be reading from Matthew 7. It's on page 581 in these Bibles. It's called Building on a Solid Foundation. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rain and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash.
Okay, I'm not the prettiest person to look at, so I know people's eyes wander as I'm speaking, so I like to give homework. I've got some sheets of paper. There's probably not enough to go around, so that's a good excuse. And I haven't brought pens, so you've got another excuse. But if you're somebody whose mind wanders, this is to help you think through what we do as a shelter. So I'll let these pieces of paper come around. And as they come around, a quick bit of practice to warm you up. If I say praise the Lord, hopefully you've got a reason to praise the Lord. Yeah. So if I say praise the Lord, if I can get a hallelujah back from you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now we'll try a different one. And this might go terribly wrong, but we'll try this. Kodala shukla. Kodala shukla. Bale. No, my Persian's not too good yet. but I wanted to acknowledge that we've got different languages in here. Another question for you as you get started, just to check before we go through the service, is there anybody here who doesn't have a home to go back to tonight? Because actually it changes the way you sit, doesn't it? If you were sat here knowing that you had nowhere to go tonight, it's been quite a sunny day, but with rain coming down in between, you'd probably be feeling a bit different if you were sat here knowing that you've got nowhere to go. And I want you to think about what your home is for you. So I'm going to ask Ian, Liz, Warren and Julie to come back up the front. You don't have to be speaking at this point, don't worry. Bit of paper holding for you. First thing I think that your home is for you is a place of shelter. It's somewhere that protects you from the weather. And when most people think of a homeless shelter, maybe that's the first thing that you think of it doing. It's just somewhere to be out of the rain. It's a roof over your head. But I think your home is a bit more to you than that. Okay, I think it's probably also a place of refreshment. It's a place where you can feel your own space. Because sometimes when everybody else is pressing in or when you don't feel very safe, you don't feel your own space. And you're just desperate to get somewhere where you feel secure. Think of those who've come from Iran. As they're traveling, think of other refugees around the world. Think of people who are on the street in Lee tonight who don't have a place of their own. If they're trying to sleep somewhere that's not secure, half the time they have to keep an eye out to make sure they're feeling safe. And you don't rest well, you don't come refreshed from that. So your home is a place that not only shelters you from the rain, it's a place that gives you refreshment. And another one, your home is a place of relationship. Okay, it's a place for you to be with those that are closest to you. Now, I've had a job for the last year where I was reading water meters. And I went into an awful lot of houses where people are very alone. Sometimes I felt they were in a worse state than those who I've seen on the street with no home. Because for them, their home had become a place of isolation. And they were just desperate for people to talk to. But really, our homes are the place where we want people with us that we feel closest to. And family comes in there, but other special relationships and wider family. It's a place where, and our kids, where we bring them up. It's a place where we want to be with those who are closest to us. And on a good day, and if you're a good church and a nice person, you want to take your friends back to your house. Your home is a place where you do hospitality. It's a place to welcome others too. Yep. Oh, and there's another one here. Would you like to stand up with the other one for me? It's a place to keep your stuff. Because that's what a lot of us think of, along with the locks and everything that goes on our house. I wonder which one of these we find in the Bible. Because actually, when I looked for verses, the only one I didn't find verses on was, you can sit down again. We do have to look at how we steward, how we look after, how we keep our stuff. But in the Bible narratives, most of the time, the walls were around the wider community. We didn't have to keep each other out of our own stuff. So I'm not saying it's wrong to have locks on your door. But what I am saying is each of these things, and I might get time to show you later on, each of these things, the Bible tells us that this is what our home should be. And what I celebrate, I said I've come here because I've messed up. All of us in our lives get relationships wrong. We get to points where we don't feel refreshment. We don't have the heart to help other people, to invite them to our place. And yet, I think when God meets with us, he restores all of these things. And he promises in John 14 that he's going ahead of us to prepare a room in his Father's house that is eternally secure, that is a place where we get to do all of these things for life in relationship. So homelessness, I don't think, is just about people on the street here in Lee tonight. It's about all of us knowing a secure eternity that can't be taken away from us. So thanks for all of that. If we flick through. So if I tell you a little bit about us as a shelter, we go on to the next slide. So we are the Atherton Lee Shelter for Hope. Now, as it happened in the juggle, we didn't know who was going to be here today. We've had different things happening. So most of the talking, if not all of the talking, will end up being from me. So you need to make particularly Ian and Warren talk more afterwards and in different times. But really, my being here is because of them. And they might say in some ways it's because of me. But I was involved in managing a night shelter in Salford, where we were giving accommodation for 30 people a night. And I went and spoke at some prayer breakfasts, and at one of the prayer breakfasts, Warren and Ian were there. And Warren, you will know, is involved in the food bank and in doing the running of that. Ian is actually a trustee in the food bank. And as they looked at the different things going on in the area, they were aware of people increasingly who were on the street in this area. And they looked at compassion with that. And that's the gospel we believe as well, isn't it? A God who has compassion. So when he looks and sees a need and a mess, he steps in dramatically, sending his son, that we could have a restored relationship with him. So they looked and they saw people who had nowhere to go, and they thought, yeah, well, I'm only working in a food bank. I don't have much money. I can't do anything. No, God moved them as to what they could do. And we have sought to do that by working with churches in the area. And this is our fourth year of operating. We've started doing a sleep out, which you can see on the next slide. So that was the last sleep out we did. There's a couple of faces you should know there. They don't always stay the whole night. But that's something we've done in November each night, because we've enjoyed the fact that we can get the community involved in meeting the needs of those who are homeless. So we want it church-led, but our volunteers who make it happen, many of them don't go to church and don't know a personal faith. But we enjoy getting the chance to work together with people, because other people out there also care about those who are homeless and they're not sure how to help. So that's our sleep out. Next one. Next picture is actually those of us on the sleep out. So this isn't those who are homeless permanently. We got to wake up the next morning and go back to hot showers. But of course, that's something that you can't do so easily if you have no home to go to. It's not just one night that you spend out on the street. A couple of figures for you that introduces what we're doing. So far this year in 2018, we've operated for only 21 nights. So there's a story to that, and I can't go through telling you the whole story because I shall soon go past 6 o'clock. But we struggled to get a venue this year. Last year we worked very closely with the council. This year at the last moment we suddenly found we had no venue, and by the time we got one it was already March. Not only that, but we've only been able to operate 3 nights a week. 3 nights a week? Starting in March, would that make a difference into people's lives? We have seen it making a real difference into people's lives. So we've been operating 21 nights, that's 7 weeks. And in that time, we have offered accommodation to 44 unique individuals. That's what we've offered. Some of them are too scared to come along. So it's not everybody that you offer accommodation to who you see turn up. But we've been able to make that offer to them. And then we've provided 77 nights of accommodation for 19 different people. So that's the same 19 people, but if you add up the number of times they've stayed with us, it's amounted to 77 nights so far this year. If we were to compare that, in 2017, we had 75 nights of operating, and we made offers to 114 different people to help them out, and we provided 900 nights of accommodation. So you can see in numbers, we haven't done so much this year. And we'll come back to how we're looking to see that change in the future. But for the individuals that we've helped, it makes a big difference. So that's why we get excited about what we're doing. And I've lost the PowerPoint on here, so I shall just see what comes up there next. Okay. What do we do? When you see this, some of you will think, I could not stay there. Because in most places we've been, we've had large rooms that have a minimum of 6 beds in, sometimes more. Where I worked in Salford, it was 30 beds in one room that was about this size. Okay, not quite your favourite 4-star hotel. And sometimes the idea of going in there is scary. But remember those things that were up at the front about what your home is. Because your home is not just a roof. So sometimes when people look at a night shelter, they think it's just a cheap way of giving a roof for 30 people, much cheaper than 30 hotel rooms for 30 people. But actually, by having everybody in together, you make a safe space, because we work with the volunteers, they know what's going on. It means that we can protect people. When people come in through the trauma of being homeless, then that's a time when you're vulnerable quite often to just feeling lonely, to wanting a drink or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or something else to just forget about the challenges you're facing. So to go somewhere and to be with people, sometimes even if you don't want to talk to them, but to be in the same space is actually a way that you can be protected, and it's a way that we work to get that relationship component back. Hopefully, if somebody who was in this room now had no house to go back to tonight, somebody else would, in this room, would help them out. Maybe Eric. But hopefully not just those in leadership here, but it would be something because of relationship that you would want to help each other out with. So then you come to realizing another problem when people have lost their homes. They've often lost relationships at the same time. Doesn't have to be their fault that it's happened. I know lots of cases where couples split up. And certainly if there's blame, then at the point that the guy, because often they think, well, I'll cope, that's no problem. I'll be on the street. I obviously need to leave the kids and so on with the lady. But quite often they find quite quickly when they don't have the contacts, it's much harder to cope than they expected. Maybe whether it came first or whether it came because of the pressure, there's been drugs and alcohol involved or gambling. And gradually that's worn down those around you that they're not able to feel they can help you out anymore. Maybe it's debt. And again, you're in a situation where people are very wary of letting you close to them. So they're not just looking for a roof. They're looking for a pathway back to be able to sort those things out. And you as a church are involved very much in helping those who struggle with the finance side. And you know all the other bits that come along with that as well. Okay, so how many people are facing homelessness? Stats I looked up for last year say that there are 4,751 people a night who are homeless across the UK. Now, those figures are rising, so I don't think we have any problem calling it over 5,000 a year, 5,000 a night. And actually, the way that they count people who are homeless, and I'm not too fussed about this, because if you're going to compare statistics year on year, the most important thing is you stay consistent in how you count. Otherwise, you can't compare one year to another. But actually, the way that they count this is they go out on the street to find people who are homeless, who are, as proof that they're homeless, who are horizontal, lying, sleeping on the street. Now, if I'm sleeping on the street, I don't particularly want to be found. So they're not easily going to find me to count me in the first place. And if I hear them coming, I'm not going to stay horizontal. I'm going to be up quick to make sure that I'm not into trouble. So the figures are much higher than what we see there. And not only that, those who are sofa surfing around other people's houses don't come near to being counted in that figure. So there are a lot more people who are struggling to have a home of their own than those figures show. And the number is going up, so that's the challenge. Now, what happens when we try and get involved in helping different people? It's reckoned the cost of intervening to help somebody, and I've looked this up from reports, so I'll just go through it quickly because it's numbers, is about £1,500 to get somebody rehoused. Some kind of intervention service running. This is council provision stuff. Rather interesting one, the same report said it costs the government about £20,000 a year to have somebody homeless on the street. We can have a fun exercise there, can't we, for you to try and work out how can it cost them to have somebody homeless on the street. And I don't know the exact way they got to that figure. I need to read quite a thick report to start working that one out. But let me help you imagine some of the ways that that costs. You've got the answers up there, so you're not going to get to imagine them. But if you've got nowhere else to go, sometimes you think the best thing I can do is throw a brick through a shop window and get arrested and be in a police cell for the night. And it happens. We know people who go and do that, not only once, but who've done it more than once. So for that person to be in a police cell for 12 hours, we go for the middle one, 12 hours in a police cell costs £449. So that's one area where it costs to have people on the street, isolated, alienated, desperate to get help. One night in a police cell, £449. Not everybody works to get arrested. Some people think, well, where can I get help? And I'm feeling like I'm getting sick. I'll go to A&E. Just turning up at A&E, getting there yourself, no ambulance involved, waiting for a doctor to see you, and then the doctor saying there's nothing we can do for you and sending you straight out, costs the NHS £124 a night, or a time. So quite quickly you can see that doing nothing actually is costly financially. But think of the cost for the individual who's not helped in those different situations. Okay, I'm not going to get to go through all the bits I had, but up on the next slide, we've got those four areas we mentioned: shelter, refreshment, relationship, and hospitality. And I've listed a whole load of verses. If you want to know them, you can come and get them off me afterwards. But that talk about how the Bible commands us that our home should be these things. How it commands us that we should be taking in those who are poor, taking in those who've come from another country, taking in those who are hungry, providing shelter, providing refreshment. Refreshment. Do you remember where Jesus told us to go and pray? He said, go into your own house, into your own room. There are things that we are supposed to do in our own space that equip us for when we come to be with other people. 1 Corinthians 11, I think, is talking about when you come together as a church to have a meal, which you do every week. And if somebody came in here every week and just grabbed all the food before the rest of you got there, you wouldn't be so excited. You'd be quite frustrated with them. Because we share that as a fellowship time when we try and meet people's needs. But actually, our homes are the place where we should first be feeding ourselves and looking after ourselves. So, I hope through coming each week and learning what you are as a church, you also learn something of what your home should be. It's not just a place where you keep stuff locked up. It's a place where you get refreshment, where you meet with God, where he can do things in you that when you go out, you're ready to bless other people. It's a place that you can bring other people back to give hospitality. It's a place where you can share your joy and your values with other people through hospitality to them. So what next for us as a shelter? Okay, 4 years we've had operating. And we want to help, we want to reach more people. And we want to do it correcting the spelling mistakes, keeping our distinctives that you have there on that piece of paper, our values that we want to be relational. It's not just about a roof, it's about restoring people. And it's, yeah, connecting people. And we want to build on our foundations. So we've had 4 years of running. We want to use the things we've discovered and the way that's been appreciated by those who've experienced the service and who are now back in homes and by other agencies. If you want to come and stay in the shelter, you don't get to just walk in. You have to go to an agency that's working with those who are homeless, and they take on the casework of trying to get you back into a house. These days, you'll know from financial advice, there's all kinds of stuff you have to do to be allowed to do that, to be a specialist advisor. So we don't do the specialist advice. We do the coming alongside and giving hospitality part. And that means our volunteers can come from all kinds of backgrounds and get very involved in that, and that's what we specialize in. So we need a long-term home. Rather than just being in a different church each year, one that we can be in and keep working in. We think we will probably change our name going forward, and we're looking at the name The Rock, and there's different reasons why we're doing that. And because we hope we give foundations for people's life. So here's an example of somewhere we would love to be in. And I've taken the name off it, but some of you will think, aha, I know where that is. It's a building that's empty, and it's a building we think could be a great base for reaching out to those who are on the street. Now, it's a building that probably we would not be able to fill completely with what we're doing, and if we did, we'd have to pay all the bills. So we're praying for partners who would work with us from somewhere like this to give a year-round work to those who are homeless. And the budget for that, to buy it and to refurb it, will probably be a minimum of £250,000. So that's the little challenge that we have going forward. You might like to pray with us in that one, but just consider how you will reach out and have compassion for those around you. I can't believe how quickly my time has gone when there's so much I want to say. Do talk to those who are at the back, because they have been key, even if they left me standing up here. Look at ways that you can be involved. But I want to finish with a video that challenges us about what our foundations in life are. Because sometimes the things that we think are most important are so easily taken away from us. And what has excited me being involved in the work of homelessness is realizing that it's not just the physical needs, it's the relational needs that people have that we are best able to meet. And we can do that with practical ways, but I think we're even better equipped to do that because of what God has done in our lives that has an eternal dimension to it and an eternal secure home. So as I show you the video, I want you to think what's most important to you and what your foundations are. And then I'll pray and I'll be sat down. Most of us are only 2 months off being homeless if you cut off our income stream. But that's just one part of the foundation on our life. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you are a God of compassion. You look at broken people. You look at people in need. And you want to reach out and you want to meet that need. And you've made a way for that to happen. Father, thank you that many of us are here rejoicing in that. And if there are those who don't know that, who don't know you as our foundation, then I pray that you would help us to have that security. Father, challenge us too, when our foundation isn't in you but is in something else. I pray you help our faith to grow, our trust in you to grow, that we can rely on you and that we can use what we have to better help other people. Father, too, we pray for those who are tonight facing being on the streets or being on a friend's sofa in a downward spiral where they don't know the way to get back into their own housing and home. I pray you would move us and touch us, that we can be part of a church, that we can be people who want to see lives restored. And I pray in the midst of that, that more would know you too. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.